look at Romans 5:18. Because, you know, the Calvinist's biggest argument, the predestination, is that all doesn't really mean all. Right? You know, and that's, isn't that a great argument? All, when it says all, when it says the Savior of all men, it doesn't really mean all. When it says that, you know, he died once for all, you know, and that he died for all men, and that he's the Savior, not of our sins only. He didn't die just for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He was only talking about the elect. Just certain people, and all doesn't really mean all. But look at Romans 5:18 and tell me if you think all really means all. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now here's what they'll say. Well, all doesn't really mean all. Okay, well, wait a minute. What about in the first sentence? Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now, are you saying that not all men are sinners? Because that says right there that by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. This is just like in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and judgment came upon all men, for that all have sinned. So does all mean all? Yeah, of course all means all. All men have sinned. Adam sinned, and therefore all men are sinners. How about Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, if all means all, then look at the second half of the verse. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Even in one verse, I guess all changed meaning in the verse. If you're a Calvinist, right? It changed meaning halfway through the verse. It started out meaning everybody's a sinner. But when it comes to salvation, oh, it's just for certain people. It's garbage. Calvinism doesn't hold up. Let's look at what Romans 8 is actually saying, though. Get the real meaning here. He says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. That's the key. God knew in advance who would be saved. That's God's foreknowledge. So he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So who did he predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son? Those whom he foreknew. And those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So he didn't say, it's your destiny to go to heaven and your destiny to go to hell. He said, no, I foreknew the believer, and I decided to predestine him to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That was the destiny that he came up with. Not a destiny of who would be saved and who would not be saved, but the destiny of the believer is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That will take place at the resurrection. Okay, what the Bible calls the first resurrection. When you are resurrected from the dead, the Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. And we will bear the image of the heavenly. We will bear the image of Jesus Christ. Our body, Philippians 3:21, will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things into himself. And so the Bible's clear here. It says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.